Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along to episode 196 of the Milk Bar. Jason and Zoe here. How are you?
Very well. Oh, thank you.
Now, you are on Skype today, which is the reason you just broke up there. I think we're going to have some fun with the technology today, aren't we?
I know. I'm sorry.
But we'll see what we can do to get by. Who have we got on the way today?
Oh, I'm very excited with who we've got on today. We have the very great Henry VIII coming up a bit later on.
We do. We'll have music from the band Blue Angel. Last time we heard from Jason Newton was back in May of last year, so we've got some more music from them ahead of the release of their album later on this year.
So going to be talking to Chris Congreve, the magician.
So we'll be talking to him a little bit later on. And also we'll be hearing from the hurdy-gurdy man. He's also played various other instruments for us in the past. He is Paul Baker. But first of all, we go to the phones where we find the one and only Fuzz Townsend. Hello, sir.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good, and you're in a car.
I am indeed.
But you're safe. You're safe and legal, which is what counts.
I am indeed, yes. But I can prove it.
It is only appropriate, though, that we should be talking to you in a car, because that forms an absolutely massive part of your working life, doesn't it, the automobile trade?
Well, I guess it does, actually, yeah. I suppose I found myself doing that kind of thing. Well, I started off doing it when I was a teenager, really, working on the spanners, as I call it. And I've kind of dipped into it ever since, despite all my other sort of career moves and stuff.
So at the moment, though, you're presenting on Sky, on Car SOS.
Yeah, on National Geographic. I present Car SOS and just done 10 shows of that. Down at my garage in Aldridge near the Walsall.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, so doing that, still playing the drums for various bands, including the Wonder Stuff, of course.
Sorry, can I just say my husband absolutely loves Car SOS. He'd be so jealous right now.
He's a man of great taste.
Is there any cars that you've had on that you think, oh, I really can't do anything with?
Well, I did actually reject one that we got back, because I only get about sort of 10 or 20 minutes to look around them, and normally in a dark, cramped garage along with, you know, loads of stuff piled up against them, and we can't inspect them properly until we get them back to the workshop, simply because if we blow our cover and you know, sort of make it look like somebody's been fiddling about with the car, then it spoils the whole premise of the show. So really, it means that, yeah, we're sort of dealing with unknown quantities generally. And I had to, yeah, I did actually say that there was one car that I could not do in the given time. It just, I wouldn't have been able to have done it safely. Give me a year, I could have done it.
It was in that bad state.
We're talking a couple of TV series to get the thing underway, and it just wasn't going to be interesting on National Geographic for that length of time. So, in the interest of the viewer, it was rejected. See, now, although you're talking about what you're doing with the Wonder Stuff and your work there back on the road with Miles, because you've been gigging of late, haven't you, I think?
We did some gigs in December, and then we went to Hong Kong at the end of January, I think it was, or it might have been February, can't remember which one, end of January. And then next week we start rehearsals over at my place for a tour promoting our new album. Oh no, it's the Wonder Stuff, first studio album from the Wonder Stuff in 7 years, and my first proper studio album with the band. And that comes out in just about 10 days' time.
And you've got some big shoes to fill. Obviously, Martin Jilks, who sadly passed away, the original drummer. And when you're doing those songs, and I mean, Martin was renowned for his work, so you've got a lot to live up to there. But if anybody can, you are the man, aren't you?
Well, I try and sort of be sympathetic to his style. And although I don't play everything exactly the same way as he did. He had a pretty idiosyncratic style. I do try and capture the feel that he got. But, you know, I knew the guy as well. It's real sad that he's not around anymore. But so I do try and sort of keep the spirit of the Wonder Stuff, the original Wonder Stuff, alive in sort of like rhythm that I asked to the dance, you know.
And of course, when Zoe said, right, we've got to talk to Fuzz Townsend, my first thought was Smash It and the single from 98. Because for that one, for me, that was, loved that song. In fact, it was being played, I think, as single of the week on Zoe Ball's Breakfast Show on Radio 1. And I'd be having some dealings with Zoe and her production team on some other stuff. And I think it was just after Martin, who was managing Reef at the time, had been in. So I got Martin to talk to them to find out what this song was. And of course, now doing my research on you today, I know you've been working obviously with Clint on Pop Will Eat Itself over the years. You've been linked in with a load of people that I've known over the years, and I never even realised that when I got a copy of your song so I could play it down at Molyneux back in 98.
Yeah, I get around a bit, and obviously you do as well. So.
Well, we do try, but the solo career, you haven't been releasing much stuff of late. Was it 99 you did something on your own last?
Probably about 2002, 2003. I did a couple of solo albums, one of which came out over here, but an amended version of that. I got picked up by an American record label called Stinky Records, and it was run by a woman called Sabrina Silverberg, who was sort of chief lawyer. She was the vice president of networks, VH1 and MTV over there. She had a little record label on her own, and she signed me up. So I did a couple of albums with her, and with her connections, that meant that people used my music in things like Sex and the City, Malcolm in the Middle, Jackass, Queer as Folk, Felicity Charms, loads of stuff. NASCAR, you know, the motor racing thing used it. I was even the sound of the rejuvenated Kmart. Whether that's a good thing or not, I don't know. But I'll probably, you know. So all kinds of stuff. So I did that over there, and I recorded it back in England, as I normally record. But I put that out. That only went out in the States, really. Although I suppose things are more global now. But that's where, you know, that's where my sort of main market was. I'm pointing out really since then, because I think that the record industry pretty quickly changed after that, and I enjoyed playing for people. I became a college lecturer lecturing in music. I was messing about with old buses at a museum, and then I kind of moved out into the sticks, you know, out in the middle of Shropshire. And although I've recorded a few bits, I suppose I've not really put my heart and soul into it. I haven't had time.
Hey, you seem to have quite a few careers over your lifetime. So which one would you prefer if you had to make a choice? Would it be the TV presenting? Would it be the music? Would it be the mechanic and your classic cars? Which would you go for?
I'd probably go for either TV presenting or making music, because neither of those is really work. And, you know, I'm sort of a loafer, but with a sort of unfortunate tendency towards coming up with new work and all that kind of thing, you know. So
you want to be lazy, but you're just not capable of doing it.
Well, that's right. And so the best way for me to be lazy is to either present TV shows or make music. Neither of those, you know. Not exactly chipping coal from a coal face, is it?
No, I suppose not. It is the better way of doing it. But you clearly, with your TV work, you don't mind getting your hands dirty. Obviously, something that which works very well for you, and you've got the presenting skills and enjoy the music. When I was hearing it back in the latter part of the 90s, it was fantastic then, and continued success for you with what you're doing with the Wonder Stuff now.
All right, well, brilliant. Thanks very much. I'm also playing for the Beat as well, as it happens. So,
oh, right. Well,
so don't forget them.
Of course, we spoke to them a while ago, so I hadn't realised you were out on the road there too. You're keeping very busy, because there's a new album there as well, isn't there?
Yeah, and we're about to start writing and recording some new stuff as well. So I suppose it's probably going to be quite a busy year for me, but, you know, we'll take it all in our stride, I think, eh?
Yeah, do what you can. Right, give us a full rundown of where people can find out more, and when they're looking out for Car SOS and, of course, the Westgate Classics.
Okay, well, Car SOS is currently playing on National Geographic Channel. It's exclusive to them at the moment, and you'll get a fresh, brand-new episode every Thursday at 8 p.m. and also on Plus One at 9 p.m. So that's channel 526 on National Geographic, so that's on your Sky box, or channel 230 on Virgin. So yeah, check it out. There's another four shows to go. We've done a total of 10, and yeah, have a look. We've enjoyed making them immensely, and I'd love to make some more. So we'll find out whether we're going to do that next month, perhaps.
Well, fingers crossed, good luck with that. You can be followed on Twitter at Fuzz Townsend, which has got a H in the middle of it, if you didn't know that. And
and also, may I interrupt and say, please go out and book your tickets to go and see the Wonder Stuff live next month, because we're really looking forward to touring the country. Can't remember where we're going, but it's bound to be somewhere near. I can never remember. I just get on the tour bus and, I'm taking the places. I'll wake up wherever I'm going to be. So, yeah, Wonder Stuff next month. And also, of course, it's Wonder Stuff released in 10 days' time.
Okay, brilliant. Fuzz, great speaking to you. Thank you for joining us. Have a safe rest of journey home tonight, and enjoy your work on the cars as much as you can when you're not making music or telly programmes.
All right, well, cheers for having me on the show.
Thanks. No problem, thanks. Ta-ra for now. Right, time to take our first track from Blue Angel now. This is 43 Days. And 43 Days. And to tell us all about it, we have the main man of the band, Jason. Hello, sir.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
So what's been going on musically then? Because you have got a whole album of songs which is available now.
It comes online on 20th of May. We're streaming it on SoundCloud at the moment. Just officially available on iTunes and Spotify on the 20th of May.
So have a listen first is the message then, yeah?
Something like that.
Yeah, it's a bit of time for people to be able to organise themselves into buying that one then.
Yeah, it's been out for, we've been working on it for a couple of years, and we finally finished it before Christmas. It's called Departures, and it's quite, we've had some really good feedback from people who've listened to it so far, so it's quite encouraging really.
Well, it's nice to actually get that sort of feedback, and that's the magic of the internet these days. But have you been gigging as well to see the real looks on people's faces as they're listening to these songs?
We're currently rehearsing. We've got some gigs lined up. We're playing in Camden at the Dublin Castle on the 22nd of May. And we've got a couple of others lined up in June. So it's going to be really good, actually. We've got some other musicians playing. We've got hopefully a tablet player coming tomorrow at the studio. So it's really exciting at the moment.
And how would you pigeonhole your music? Because obviously we just listened to that tune, but what happens next as far as developing the sound goes?
Well, I think the album's quite a downbeat album, mainly. There's sort of themes about leaving and loss and melancholy, that kind of thing. But it's not as depressing as that might sound. There are some quite uplifting elements. We've got a couple of dancing tracks in there as well. As far as influences go and sounds, people have talked about people like Portishead, with a bit of Rufus Wainwright, a bit of Kylie Lamb, that kind of thing. And it's kind of, it comes across the music. It's quite a warm album. It's like an album you listen to late at night when you're travelling or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Want to stick on in the car and sit back and enjoy. Yeah,
something cool. Like that, yeah.
Right, we've got another track to come from you now. We're going to listen to Open Spaces. We also have the interestingly titled La Connexion. Is that a bit French, that one?
It's Spanish, actually.
It was Spanish, right,
Spanish,
okay.
Yeah. I've always been interested in languages, and I thought I'd try and write one in Spanish.
And then we have Breathe as well.
Yes, that's more of a kind of a chill-out Ibiza type thing. There are a couple of tracks on the album with that kind of feel, I suppose.
So as we go into Open Spaces, tell us a bit more about this one then.
Open Spaces is very much like the title. It's unlike previous stuff I've done. It's lyrically quite minimal. It's quite sparse. There's lots of ocean. I was listening to it today and I was on the underground. And when you listen to the waves and you listen to the voices and everything, it's incredibly calming and quite soothing, actually. It's quite nice.
Brilliant. Okay, we'll take a listen to this. And before you go, though, tell us where we can find this on SoundCloud so you can have a listen before the album is finally released for you to buy.
Yep, it's on soundcloud.com/blueangel-1. It's on our Facebook page, facebook.com/blueangelmusic as well.
Jason Newton, thank you for joining us.
Thanks a lot.
Thank
Cheers.
You very much.
Ciao for now.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Blue Angel Open Spaces.
We'll have more from them a little bit later on, but now we go back to the phones where Chris Congreve is joining us. Hello.
Hiya, mate.
How are you doing? You all right?
Yeah, not so bad, you?
Oh, I'm getting by. And we are having a few technical problems with Zoe's connection today, so if Zoe disappears, it's going to be one of your magic tricks. Okay, we'll
play.
Okay.
Just ignore me.
Yeah. Then you've got to make the lady reappear at the end. Is that all right?
Okay, yeah.
Okay, so the world of magic is where you exist, and we've had a chat a few times, not only in real life over the years, because we went to school together, but on the podcast as well, because it's something that you took up how many years ago? It must be about 6 or 7 years you went full-time now, isn't it?
It's been eight years since I went full-time professional, but I've been doing it a lot longer than that.
Oh, yeah, I know you've been enjoying it as initially a paid hobby as much as anything else, and then it became the real thing, didn't it?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And then it was eight years ago in January since I packed my job in and went full-time, yeah.
And that must have been quite scary because, I don't know, being like self-employed and an entertainer is never, 100% certain, is it?
No, it was tough and... we've got like a 2-year-old baby at the time, so it was quite a leap of faith, so to speak. And it was daunting, and it still is at times. It's the way the economy is at the minute, and things. It can be a bit cold out there at times, but quite busy at the minute. So mustn't grumble.
Make the most of it and enjoy doing your magic tricks. And you've been working with some more fantastic people, and not only with the talented that you have, but you've been turning up at all sorts of events, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. The most famous person I've done magic to fairly recently was John Cleese at an event last year. And, what a gentleman. Really nice guy. Mm-hmm. Sort of enjoyed what I did, I think.
did you ask for his autograph, though?
No, I didn't, no.
See, that's the thing. So this is where you're going wrong. If you stalk celebrities and ask for their autograph, they think you're a weirdo. If you treat them like you're working with them, it works well, doesn't it?
Yeah, well,
I know, but if you meet somebody that you really like and you've liked all your life, then it's a bit starstruck.
I know. Then if you're a top quality magician, you steal their wallet and have the credit card with the signature on the back. No, that works, doesn't it?
That's a top quality pickpocket you're thinking of.
I do get confused. So what else is going on? Because you've been creating tricks still as well, haven't you?
I have, yeah. I've got a few sort of things that have come out over the last couple of years for magicians to buy all around the world, really, which is good because you get nice feedback. It's like the World Wide Web now. People can sort of give you feedback straight away, really, and so that's been pretty good. I've eventually got around to joining the Magic Circle, which I hadn't done for a long, long time, but now I have actually joined the real Magic Circle in London. So that's good. And, doing what I do, really. I've been doing a lot of work sort of more local the last couple of years, and I've been doing some work for Middleton. Middleton's on the Willinall Road.
I do. They're purveyors of fine quality chip shop equipment.
Exactly right. So I did a trade show event for them in February, and I've got another one in April.
Does that involve battered fish?
It involves lots of card tricks.
No, but no battered fish or chips. No. Okay.
No. Sorry.
Well, when did you first become interested in magic? Because my little lad loves it, and he's constantly on the internet, and he looks for new tricks, and he can actually perform them himself, and he's all right. I mean, is it something that you did when you was a youngster, and then you've built on that?
I did a few card tricks, but in those days when Jason and I were young and the world was flat, there was no such thing as the internet, of course, so it was a lot harder to find the secrets out, if you like. And these days, I've actually had it happen to me where I've been at a show and somebody's been on their smartphone and Googled one of the tricks I'm doing and trying to work it out. It's done in front of me. So to answer your question, yes, I did do a few things, but not the standard that your son's probably doing, because the information wasn't so readily available, unfortunately.
No, I was going to say, he follows it through step by step, and he does it ever so good.
Oh, good, yeah. You'll have to get to have a look on my website, drop me an email, and I'll give him a few pointers.
And sell him some tricks.
Well,
let's mention your charity gig first, and then we'll come on to how you're going to impress me and Zoe with a trick by telephone.
Oh, I'm going to try, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, on the 12th of April... My cousin's actually organised this, and I'm sort of helping out a little bit. But we've got a charity event at Gilbert's in Willinall, which is it's in aid of the Sarcoma Trust. Mm-hmm. And sarcoma, I don't know if you may or may not be aware of, but I certainly wasn't until recently, is a rare form of cancer.
Mm.
And my auntie has unfortunately got it, and it is life-limiting as well. So basically what we're doing is we're putting this night on to try and raise some money for the trust and hopefully give my auntie a good night out. So we've got some singing, we've got disco, and we've got some obviously some magic and stuff. And there's a guy from, I don't know if you've ever come across him, from Dudley called Christopher Knott. You may have come across him on the circuit. He's fantastic. He does a David Essex tribute, but he's doing some Motown for us that night as well. So I've worked with him a couple of times, and I booked him for my 40th birthday party as well, and he's fab. So yeah, and we've got some good raffle prizes and stuff, and we're hoping to raise a bit of money and sort of obviously donate it in my auntie's name for the Sarcoma Trust.
Well, good luck with that. Best wishes to your auntie, and I hope she has a great night. Which is the important thing. And absolutely, if people want tickets for that one, 12th of April at Gilbert's in Willenhall, how much and where do they get them from?
The tickets are £8 each, and hopefully you'll be able to get some from the venue. I say hopefully, we're well on the way to it being a sellout, so there may not be any tickets left very, very shortly. So, you know, but if anybody does feel generous and they want to donate any money, they can donate it to the Sarcoma Trust, and they can find those quite easily on the internet.
Okay, right, now this is the bit where you impress us. What are you going to do?
I'm going to try, what I'm going to get you to do, who shall I do this to, Jason or Zoe?
I think Zoe, because she's more gullible.
That's nice, isn't it? Okay, so what I want you to do for me is I want you to think of a number from 1 to 10.
Right.
Okay, now you can, I'd say, are you thinking of a number, yeah?
Yeah, I've got it.
Okay, I'd say, listening to your voice and the sort of person you are, you probably went for an even number, is that right?
Yeah.
Ooh, okay. Now, I'm not going to try and guess the number or say the number. I'm not that good. But basically, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read a list of objects out to you. And what I want you to do is concentrate on the one that falls at your number. So if you were thinking of item 4, just remember that one, okay?
Right, okay.
Yeah? Okay, so we've got precious metal. Number 1 is precious metal. Number 2 is knitting. Number 3, cutlery. Number 4... is a golden colour. Number 5 is highly polished. 6 is a ball. 7, sharp. 8, a cat toy. 9, a carving tool. And 10 is something round. Okay,
right.
So you're thinking of something now, yeah?
Oh, I have to do that.
You have to remember which was one, the one that tied in with what you were,
so
your
you
number
were thinking
was.
Of number 5, you'd be thinking of something highly polished, okay?
So you've got that. You've got that word in your head.
You've got that in your head, Zoe. Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Now I'm going to give you something a little bit more specific. I'm going to read out some other things, and I want you to all I want you to do really is think about the one that probably suits the first thing better. Okay. This will make sense in a second. So, a blue felt-tip pen, a postage stamp, a shining silver carving knife, a yellow ball of wool, today's newspaper, an old felt hat, South Sea Island, a horse and cart, a dusty antique clock, and a china coffee cup.
Okay.
Right. So you're thinking of one of those. I'm specifically thinking of the second thing there. So you've really got, rather than a generic term, you've got a specific item in mind, yeah?
Yeah, go on.
Okay. I want you to imagine that you're holding that in your hand. And in fact, if you were going to throw that at somebody, they'd be able to catch it, wouldn't they? Because it's a ball. Is it a ball of wool you're thinking of, yeah?
Yeah, it is.
Thank you.
That's very good.
Thank you very much.
How does that work?
Oh, well, you know.
Can I know what your number was as well, please, Zoe?
Number 10.
Was it? Okay, there we go.
Yeah. Did you join in that, Jase?
I knew it was number 10. I just didn't want to say, you know.
No, it is. It's always nice when you're doing a trick, and you're watching your audience, or you can hear in their voice the shock of when that you actually get what it was they were thinking of.
It's good, yeah. It is good. It's almost as good as when you turn up at somebody's table and you can see that they're expecting you to be absolutely rubbish, and they're shocked when you actually turn out that you're not bad. That's quite good as well.
Oh, you're a fantastic magician. I have seen you on several occasions.
Oh,
and
you're
a top bloke at school as well, so that all helps.
Cheers,
but there
mate,
we are.
You.
Right, if you do want to get along to Gilbert's, it's in Willenhall Field Street, and get in touch with them if you wish to buy a ticket for the charity do. 12th of April, £8. What day of the week is that?
It's a Friday.
Oh, even better. Fantastic Friday night.
Yeah.
Go out and have a drink so you haven't got to get up the next day.
Well, I have because I'm working for Middleton's the next day. So we're working at the Bolton football ground the next day. So, early start for me, I'm afraid.
You love it, though, don't you?
Yeah, you've got
it. Chris, thanks for joining us. Good to speak to you as ever.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers. Bye for now.
Bye now.
Bye.
Bye.
Right, let's take some more music from Blue Angel. This is La Conexión.
Estoy aquí, tampoco ahí, no veo a nadie cerca de mí. ¿Cuál es tu futuro? ¿Qué puede ser? Hay elección, la conexión.
Angel La Conexión. Zoe?
Yeah?
Now, we've got a very special guest on the line now. Are you prepared to bow in reverence before the man who set up the Church of England?
The royalty.
With royalty. The man who, he was a bit lax with his keeping of his wives. It is Henry VIII, a.k.a. Tony Strange. Hello, sir.
Now, who are you talking to? Are you talking to Tony Strange or are you talking to the King?
Let's meet the King, first of all.
Well, there we are. Good, I used the right voice then. Zoe, you may rise, my dear. You may rise. Thank you for your courtesy.
So,
thank you very much.
Now, obviously...
Do you know, I think that's one of my favourite eras in history is Henry VIII.
And the Tudors, you're a big fan, yeah?
Yes.
Everyone's a big fan of me. Anyone that doesn't know something about Henry VIII, that's the marvellous thing about it. The most well-known monarch this country ever had.
Now, sir, IHRH, how should I address you based
on
your time?
I'm the first king to be called Majesty. I brought it in. It's a title that I brought in from the East, and so you could do nowhere better than just call me Your Majesty.
Well, Your Majesty, obviously it has been some significant time since you were first, a very busy gentleman around these shores, but your work has once again been brought to the fore, because you're actually... You seem to be making several appearances to your gracious public.
History is the new rock and roll, my boy. That's the reason for that.
So Henry, where have you been appearing of late?
Well, you can catch me on a high summer's holiday, at all bank holidays and such, like at Warwick Castle, which is one of the finest complete castles in the whole of England. Never been breached, you see. And I owned that castle throughout the entire period of my reign. And now, for the benefits of foreign tourists and indeed the local interested English people, I perform there on an almost daily basis. So you can often catch me there. We've got Horrible Histories coming up, and that's very popular at the moment with school children. But literally any old home or country estate that has some sort of link to Tudor England would often call me in to boost up their audience figures with a performance, and I'm delighted to have Tony Strange portraying me on a regular basis. Would you like to talk to Tony?
That would be fantastic, because I don't have to keep tugging the forelock I no longer have.
Good, yeah, well, your hair would come out if you kept tugging on the forelock.
it went many years ago now, but there we go.
Well, so did Henry.
This is it.
He went bald by the time he was 35. He had very little hair. He was very embarrassed about it.
So it's a trait which has been continued with the slightly different but slightly connected royal family we have today, I think. But
yeah,
there we go.
Maybe something to do with money. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. So how did you end up being Henry VIII?
Oh, dear. It's a story. It's my wife's fault. The current Mrs. Harris is a civil servant, works up in Downing Street. And actors spend a lot of time at home kicking their heels. And she saw an advert in The Guardian one day. And it said, are you over 6'2", which I am, and are you over 18 stone, which I am, and are you interested in history, which I am. So I applied for this this audition, not really knowing what it was all about. And when I turned up, normally when you go for an audition as an actor, there's four disinterested people sat behind a trestle table in the school hall. But this was in a massive costume depot with rails and rails of fantastic costumes. And when I walked in, the first thing they did was measure me, which is a bit unusual, because normally they ask you do something. And it turned out that they wanted three Henry VIII, but they only had one costume. So the three men that were to get this role had to be identical sized. So we were a strange group. The people that auditioned for it, there must have been about 100 people, I suppose. And the job was to be Henry VIII at Hampton Court Palace. So in the country, if you rate tourist attractions, Hampton Court is always in the top five visited places in England. And it really is a wonderful place to go. And it was a fantastic job to get. And I became the resident king there. And I was king there for 2 years. And actually lived in the palace in an apartment. Get me, eh?
Fantastic.
Ended up by Christmas.
I thought that was good.
Well, so I had expected to be banquets involved and a lot of eating on behalf of Henry VIII. Because I should think that is a big part of what you have to do, isn't it?
Yeah, but here's the thing. The costume, the Hampton Court costume, cost £3,500, and on pain of death, we weren't allowed to eat or drink wearing it. So if ever there was a banquet, we'd turn up and walk in to the room and get everyone else to sit down, and then when it came time for food, we'd either sit there and watch them eat, or we'd have to get lost and go out the back, and have a sandwich with a cloth around it. Very funny. But so actually not as much banqueting as you'd think. I do attend every year probably about, 50 or 60 feasts, but generally I'm not the one that's eating. I'm presenting the feast or introducing the entertainment or pretending that I'm the king of the feast. So not as much food as you would think. However, I am a large chap, so I guess my wife is delighted that I'm not actually eating 50 feasts a year, because I'd probably be the size of a house then.
That would be difficult, yes, and it might be detrimental.
Exactly.
Yeah,
as you say, you do have to eat a certain extent, because you can't lose weight because you've got to fit into your costume.
It was in my contract. Yes. It was in my contract at Hampton Court that I had to stay above 18 stone. Because they didn't want you to lose any weight. When I finished there, I did finish there about 2 years ago, maybe 2.5 years now. Time flies, doesn't it? And I did lose about a stone within weeks. because I was going for a different part and I wanted to be a slimmer, trimmer version. So I did lose a stone, but I guess I've put that back on now because the costume that I had made for me especially was made for me when I was quite large. And so if I'm not filling it out from the inside, I don't like to be padded, you see.
Oh, it doesn't look quite right, does it, I suppose?
Yeah, I like to have the real thing because then if any clever dick says, oh, that's not real and wants to poke your tummy, you can give them permission to give you a poke. And of course it's real and they're then abashed because they think, oh my God, he is that size. So, you know, it's a fun game that I play. It's a fun game I play.
So you have the Warwick Castle where you will be over the summer this year.
Yes.
Any specific dates and events that you can tell us about at the moment?
As I said, we're doing Horrible Histories now, literally all next week. We're doing them, and the half term and the bank holiday in May, we're doing all the time there. And there are Tudors, there are Vikings, there are medieval areas. So there's lots of actors involved presenting these things. Just like you see on the TV, because all kids these days learn their history from Horrible Histories. And I think it's fantastic. It really is a marvelous invention by the guy that that thought it all up. But we can't use, for copyright reasons, obviously, we can use the name because they've Warwick Castle have bought the name. But we can't use their songs or their stories. So obviously you can't copyright history, so the stories would be the same, but the way we tell them will be slightly different. But it will be more, you know, oriented towards the younger visitor for a change. Whereas normally they're terrified of me because, you know, when I prance around the castle pretending to eat children or chase them, you know. I'm quite a, I'm the size of a chipped frigate. That's what someone described me as once. So it's, you know, it's quite large and intimidating. And either children burst into tears the minute they see me, or they're absolutely fascinated and follow me around like the Pied Piper of Hamelin. So it's not, you know, there doesn't seem to be any middle ground. But anyway, the Horrible Histories is the big thing at Warwick for this year, and it'll go on all through the summer as well. Sadly, I won't be there this summer because I'm on tour doing something else, but they will have another Henry VIII, I imagine.
And if you do if people do wish to book you as Henry VIII for an event or any of your other acting work, where can we find Tony Strange?
I've got a website. If you look at henrythetudor.com, that's my website, and you can get me through that. Or indeed, if they're more used to phoning your show or calling you, then you could put them in touch with me. I'd be glad to talk to them. But and it's not as much money as you would think. I mean, I do various different rates for various different organisations. I was booked once by I won't mention the name, but a massive computer company to launch a new little laptopy thing, a book it was called, and they flew me to Bratislava for 2 days, and I was lording it around Bratislava Castle for 150 European journalists. And let me tell you, that was the most expensive time that anyone had ever paid for, you know, for the King's presence. But if you imagine that I go around addressing Women's Institute groups and University of the Third Age and the RNLI and other groups like this, they don't have the budget, you know, for to spend hundreds of pounds on such a thing. So it can be quite a budget effort, but they get the same performance each time. They get a big, larger-than-life guy who knows the Tudor history inside out, because I'm not just a lookalike, for want of a better word. I went to Henry School. I put the hours in, you know, and I'm constantly reading books. So if someone asks me a question in the audience, what do you think about blah, 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 generally I know the answer. And they're stunned, because most actors are thick. So, you know, it is a point that, you know, there's a lot of research has gone into this role, and I shall be playing him for years and years and years.
Do you find yourself humming Greensleeves as well quite a lot?
Well, he didn't write that.
I know.
You see, you've fallen into my trap, James. Yeah. everyone thinks that. Greensleeves is contemporary for the period, and it is a Tudor song, but it's anonymous. And Henry was not a man to hide his light under a bushel. And had he written that song, I promise you he would have put his name to it. So his big hit was a song called Past Time with Good Company, which I'm not about to sing for you because I don't want to ruin your listeners.
I mean, he had a copyright, though, so he would be okay.
I mean, it just goes, Past time with good company, I love and shall until I die. It goes like that. But that was his famous song. But most people think Greensleeves because they've been taught that at school, because they still teach the same things at school they were teaching me when I was there. you know, and generally they're wrong.
Need to put them right.
Yeah, and you're a big enough man to convince them as well. Tony Strange, thank you for joining us. www.henrythetudor.com if you want to see how he looks in his outfit. It's fantastic.
That's great. Thank you very much.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye. Right, let's take another tune from Blue Angel. This is the last one from them, and it's called Breathe. Angel. Now we've lost the connection to Zoe. However, we'll try and get her back in a bit. Meanwhile, on the phone, we have somebody who's lovingly known as the hurdy-gurdy man whenever I talk about him. He is Paul Baker. Hello.
Greetings.
Are you all right?
I am wonderful, thank you.
Yeah, because Diabolus in Musica and all the other stuff that you do as well, but it is the hurdy-gurdy that sticks in everybody's mind.
In which case, I think I'd better make sure I take a hurdy-gurdy to say wholemeal in case anybody's listening to this, haven't I?
Yes, because on Easter Sunday you'll be there.
Yeah, that's right.
A celebration of the working mill that they have down there.
It is. They've just done a major restoration project on it, and the leaf doesn't leak now, and the sluices don't leak, and the thing is actually grinding flour. It's wonderful.
How on earth did you get involved in all this?
I've sort of been floating around Birmingham museums for many, many years. We do all sorts of musical things for Birmingham. including the famous Aston Hall by candlelight evenings. But this is a bit of a new one for Fairhall, because they're opening the mill. I've actually been doing some research on songs about mills and millers.
Well, there was a Jolly Miller once. I remember that one from when I was a kid, because I had a...
Lived on the River Dee. We will be doing that one.
Yes. And what else have you got then? What other millers should we be looking out for?
Oh, we've got... Well, the millers didn't really have a very good press. We've got millers who were womanizers, millers who were murderers, quite a few murderers, scoundrels, rogues, thieves, and generally bad people, according to that.
But they did make the flair for your bread, and there was all sorts of weird taxes that went along with that sort of thing as well, wasn't there? I'm sure there'll be tales of that sort of stuff at Say Hall as well.
We'll pull out a few good tales, but yeah. So we've fished out of the folk repertoire all the miller songs we can think of. There aren't that many, so we shall be including everyone's old favourite folk tunes that nobody ever sings nowadays, and a few sea shanties for good measure, and all sorts of jolly stuff.
And how did you choose what era of music to select for this one? Because milling has gone on for many hundreds of years.
It has. Fairhall more or less defined the period. It's approximately Victorian. We're not being too heavy on authenticity, but a lot of the folk songs about mills and millers were knocking around in Victorian times, although some of them are a bit earlier. But we thought, since it's the period of the mill, we might as well correspond to that.
And you actually have got an outfit for every era, haven't you, sir?
Of course.
Your wardrobe must be an absolute nightmare.
Yeah, the 1320s are a bit iffy, but yes, I mean, apart from that, you know, we can banish most periods.
Well, give us full details of the event and how people can find you on Sunday.
It's at Fairhall Mill, of course. I'm not quite sure of the address, but if you have a look on the Birmingham Museum's website, you'll find it. It runs from, it's open from midday till 4. We will be playing milling songs intermittently throughout that period. Entry to the mill is £3, and entry to us is free.
So make the most of it, enjoy the music, and have a sing-along to some fantastic tunes about people who are making flour.
Absolutely. And I will bring the hurdy-gurdy, at your request.
Oh, gosh, I think so too. That sounds absolutely brilliant. Paul, thank you for joining. It's always good to speak to you. And
that's a great pleasure.
We'll have to get you back in to make some more noise for us soon.
Absolutely. Let me know.
Cheers, Paul. Thanks, then. Ta-ra for now.
Okay, then. Thanks. Bye.
So, Zoe, another action-packed show. Thank you for being there on Skype for most of the programme.
Yes, on and off, I believe. I'll have to sort it out, Jason, next time.
Or actually turn up, which would be good. But the reason this is because you've got to go off and see your personal trainer now, so enjoy that and have a great time doing that, okay?
Yes, I shall be shattered, no doubt.
And we'll be back over Easter, probably a day late because of the chocolate consumption, but we'll be with you in the very early part of April. We'll see you then. Ta-ra for now.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye from the mill bar. Goodbye from the milk bar. Goodbye from the milk bar. Goodbye from the milk bar. Yeah. Goodbye from the milk bar. Yeah.